Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, the Foreword to the Third Edition, and we are at page XXII, the paragraph. Today's readers are Penny C., Deborah S., and Charles H. The reference number for Tuesday, October 6th, is 8088. That's 8088. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask, Ms. M, to please
Janice
read
M?
The. Yes, please. Thank you, Janice.
Oh, good morning to you, Katie. Good morning. These are the 12 steps of OA. My name is Janice M, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Janice. I will now ask Amy W. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. Amy W., recovered compulsive overeater in California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Amy W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. The meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, the forward to the third edition on page XXII, paragraph 1. I will ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Good morning. Morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone on the line. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. By March 1976, when this edition went to the printer, the total worldwide membership of Alcoholics Anonymous was conservatively estimated at more than 1 million, with almost 28,000 groups meeting in over 90 countries. Surveys of groups in the United States and Canada indicate that AA is reaching out not only to more and more people, but to a wider and wider range. Women now make up more than one-fourth of the membership. Among newer members, the proportion is nearly one-third. 7% of the AAs surveyed are less than 30 years of age, among them many in their teens. The basic principles of the AA program, it appears, hold good for individuals with many different lifestyles. Just as the program has brought recovery to those of many different nationalities. The 12 steps that summarize the program may be called Los Doce Pasos in one country, Le Dos Etapes in another, but they trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by the earliest members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm reading this and how AA is spreading at this point all over the planet, and it just keeps reaching a wider range of people of all sorts of ages and cultures. It reminds me again of listening to Dr. Bob's son, Smitty, as he was called, Bob S. from Texas, who came to a convention it was actually Mass Al-Anon convention in Sturbridge, Mass, many years ago. And his point that he made very clearly was the reason that AA was able to spread into all these various countries. And by the way, a footnote in my book says that in 1983, it had reached 110 countries, and I know that number is even larger, much, much larger today. But the reason that it was able to do that was that one little phrase that starts, we hear in step 3 for the first time, God as we understand him, which meant that whoever read this book, whoever was being shown through these 12 steps, was able to identify in his or her own religion or non-religion, that whatever they understood by a higher power was all right, was going to let them continue through the rest of the steps. And that's made all the difference. And Dr. Bob was very clear in making that a point, that it was, as he put it, it was just one of those recovered drunks that insisted that before he voted on the first draft of the steps, that change be made. And here we are. And just one other point. When it says that AA is reaching out, AA is reaching out, but who is AA? AA, is me and you. It's us. We're the ones that bring this program to people who need and want it. Not an entity, but people. People do that. And I'm just another grateful recovered OA member who is so indebted to those people that first brought it to Akron and then to Cleveland, New York, and now to so many other groups, not only alcoholics. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Who would like to share on these paragraphs, these three paragraphs?
Hello, this is Raquel.
Okay, Raquel, anyone else?
Renata.
Kathy K.
Okay, I'm going to put myself at the end of that list. Okay, so we'll have Raquel, Renata, Kathy K., and Katie up. Go ahead, Raquel.
Oh, hello. I just got in, so who is the moderator now?
Katie
F. Who is?
Katie F.
Katie, thank you so much for your service. And I had so many calls this morning asking for help. And I am Raquel, and I have now 6 years and 10 months of recovery. And I'm so, so grateful and so happy that we are reading these introductions. They're so meaningful. And so, just as it said, you know, that how many into how many languages just now, it's such an honor to come right after Penny C. And how she said that it was translated into different languages, and it said that it's maybe called Las Dos Casas, and so on in other languages. So I would like to add to it the Hebrew, Shnemasar Tzadim, the 12 steps that are so precious, that saved so many people. And I'm so lucky to be one of them for now, for today, for the daily reprieve that I have. And I'm so eager to come to the meeting, to the conference, and to meet all of you. But the big thing is that there's a lot of correction here to do about how our program, OA, has been presented, has been mediated. And we're few here already who are on the vision and who were on the program before, on the coffee shop, and understand, you know, that the steps are the main thing, and that you have to be abstinent in order to be able to understand what's going on. So we opened the meeting and a few weeks now, and so many people want to come in, but people who've been a long time in program but have not gotten the message clearly. And we are at the beginning, and I need your encouragement, and I need your encouragement to persevere, because there are lots of obstacles, mostly because most people haven't done step one. So where are you now coming up with primary purpose that all you have to do is do the steps in 6 hours and you're all set? Maybe that's true for alcoholics who come out from under the bridge with an empty bottle in a rainy day, and they come already all demolished into the program. But with the food, it's a little bit different. So now the holidays were here, and people are just falling apart. Because if I had already 3 weeks of abstinence, I can bake and cook and do anything. No, you can't. And nobody wants to give up their ways. I want so much and so much that we should have here also a strong program. And I need your prayers and your blessings that I should be able to make this trip, because there's some health problems. But I will not miss, I will, God willing, not miss out on it. I'll pass. I just want to thank you so much. And thank God for AA. Thank God for all the founders, for the 101st, for Bill, for Bob. But I know that if Dr. Bob and Bill themselves, together with Abby, sat here in my living room, some of the people who come in now at this stage, who've been years in program but haven't done even step one, they couldn't convince them that, yeah, I'll wrap up. Only the suffering and to watch the suffering is very painful. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle. And Renata, I think you're up.
Yes, thanks, Katie, for your service. Renata G., recovered compulsive reader in New York. The basic principles of AA program, it appears, hold good for individuals with many different lifestyles. You know, and, like, you know, the 12 steps trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by the earliest members of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, what I get from this today is it doesn't matter where do I live, you know, what country, what language I speak, right? The thing is, am I a real compulsive reader? Do I identify with a real alcoholic? You know, have I, like it says on page 24, you know, have I lost control? You know, it says that at a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passed into the state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. And so, you know, if I can identify with that, it doesn't matter what language I speak. You know, these 12 steps are what are going to solve my problem, which is my spiritual malady. And, you know, like if it, the steps don't change because it's treating the same problem. You know, like, why should we reinvent the wheel, right? It has worked so well here and then in Canada. And so, like, now it works in all these other different countries, like Penny said, over 110 countries. And, you know, if I'm a real compulsive reader and I found that I am, you know, the only thing that worked for me was this 12 steps as laid out in the big book. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in English or in Portuguese. The thing is, I need to practice these principles in all my affairs every day. I need to change. Without that, you know, there's no recovery. At least there wasn't for me. And it's very comforting to know that there's AA everywhere, you know, in the world, and because that's a resort we can have if we can't find a way. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Renata. Kathy K., you're up.
Thank you, Kay, for your service. This is Kathy K., recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. And I am very moved by this reading today. It causes me to think back to the very first OA meeting that I attended in Framingham, Massachusetts, and I can remember like it was yesterday, hearing so many people share about God and higher power helping them to achieve abstinence and to stay abstinent. And the references to God were very difficult for me, since at that point I had been an agnostic for 40 some odd years in my life. And it wasn't until people started approaching me to welcome me and to talk to me about their experience and my experience that I became open to the possibility that I could find help in these rooms. And it was precisely what Penny was referring to before, the acknowledgement by fellow travelers that we needed to seek a higher power or God as we understand him. And that made such a difference in my willingness to come back. And it, you know, it really is the crux of what enables us to be an inclusive fellowship. That is, it's really up to each of us to find that power greater than ourselves that can help us to work through the steps and to build a connection with a greater power than ourselves. So, you know, I think of that often when I meet newcomers and how important it is to allow the newcomer to speak and to ask questions so that I can reassure them that the hoop, as they talk about in step two of the 12 and 12, is really large. And with willingness, any one of us can move through it. I think that is the crux of why this fellowship has continued to grow and thrive. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy, and I'd like to share. My name is Katie F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and the basic principles of the AA program, it appears, hold good for individuals with many different lifestyles, just as the program has brought recovery to those of many different nationalities, and for us, different problems. You know, we're not alcoholics here on this line. We're compulsive overeaters. Yet we can translate these principles and use them in our life with compulsive overeating. And I'm so grateful that, you know, that we can do that, and that AA is there in all these different countries. I don't know how many different countries has OA, but I do know from my own experience. I traveled in, it was in 1990, and I was in Belize. I was on this 6-week-long trip, and I'd been absent for a couple of years, and, you know, this was way before cell phones and the internet and all these different ways of communicating with people if you're in another country. And so I was I don't even know what was going on. But I know that I looked up AA in Belize, and a friendly voice, a friendly man answered that phone, and whatever was going on, you know, he talked me down from my fear or whatever it was. And, you know, if that phone had just rung and rung, or if, you know, had been disconnected, or if there was no one to call, I mean, I think God would have carried me through. But it was just such a blessing that here, you know, 25 years later, I remember that experience. I remember being able to pick up the phone and talk to someone in another country. And, you know, here we have this program so readily available, and yet people are dying. You know, I heard yesterday of a friend or a former client at my work who I knew she struggled with our disease, and I had a suspicion she was an alcoholic. And, you know, I don't think she was you know, that old, and she passed away yesterday from this disease, from her addictions. And, you know, that just seems so sad to me when we have this help available, but, you know, we can't make someone take step one. That's a one-person job, and I'm just so grateful that we can carry this message. And, you know, I don't want to get bogged down with frustration over the fact that we don't have these kind of numbers in OA. We're doing our part here on this line, and with that, I'll pass. Who else would like to share on these three paragraphs before we move on?
Good morning. It's Vasa, Katie.
Thanks from New York.
Melissa C.
Okay. Okay, let's go with Vasa O., Charles H., and Melissa C., and then we'll move on to the next paragraph.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Katie, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And it is a miracle how AA and OA has spread and is still spreading all over the world and translated in different languages. There was a time in my life when I went back to the old country, I wanted to spread it over there, but I was there such a short time. So, you know, I had to, you know, again, you know, it takes time and effort to start a meeting, you know. And I'm just so grateful to God for leading me to OA, the big book, the 12 steps as they laid out in the big book in 1986. And I have been saved from this deadly disease. And I have traveled, you know, many, many places in this many years I've been in the program. And I've gone many, many cruises and back and forth to the whole country and a few other countries. And, of course, there wasn't a meeting that I could get in. I did in Greece. I remember connecting with somebody over the phone, you know. It was a blessing in that area. But I always brought my literature with me. And God went with me wherever I went, you know. So I could still maintain my abstinence, my sobriety, and be where I am, you know. And that was very, very helpful for me. You know, there were a lot of alcoholics that went to the war, and they brought their big book with them, and they were being able to be sober, you know, because they could read the big book and pray to God and do their job. So I'm just so grateful that I have found this program. And as I said, I would be dead today if I didn't. And I see a lot of people are dying. And, you know, and again, I'm just so grateful that I have found a God of my own understanding and the program. And I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Charles H., you're up.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, all. Excuse me, Charles A. to Recovered Visionary just for today. And I just want to say thank you, God, because while I was waking up this morning, somebody was taking their last breath. Thank you, God. And I just feel so compassionate for that person that's suffering. Even some visionaries, you know, even me, even you sometimes. You know, there's things that happen, man, you know, that you feel some type of way, you know. I don't know about you, but I got to keep it real up in here. You know, some things happen that, you know, sometimes I don't feel, you know, I feel some type of way, but God is good, you know, in my life, you know. The good and the bad works, and, you know, us connecting is a great thing. As I said earlier in the week, I'm not witch burning. The 10 traditions says, You know what? I used to hate what I didn't understand. I used to hate the big book. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why compulsive overeaters was using the big book as a solution. I hated it. I was like, I don't have a problem with drinking. Every time I drink, I get drunk. What's the problem? So, but I get it today. And you know what? It's like, you know, Dr. Silkworth, like the last thing he said in his in his opinion, which is facts in my life today, that, you know, if you can remain in prayer, you know, even though you may scoff, if you can remain in prayer, that's one thing that sticks out. You know, a medical individual, a medical saint, that reminds me to read this book through and through. And though I may laugh at that thing, you know, I may remain to pray. You know, somebody like that, a medical profession, is telling me something like that. That's good news for the world. That's good news. I don't care what religion you got. I don't care if you ain't got religion. If you can just remain to pray for the people that's dying, even in visionary, even in, you know, all sections of OA, even people that's not in OA, if you can remain to pray and keep them lifted up through prayer, and it ain't got to be religious. Please make sure it's spiritual and the motive is right, just to help the next person. That's what this big book is about. It's about love. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles. Melissa C., you're up.
Hi, good morning, Katie. Good morning, everybody. This is Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I hear about all the different languages, you know, all the different places that this 12-step way of life has reached, and all the different addictions. And I'm just so filled with gratitude and love when I hear that, because, you know, this disease of mine had me believing that I was completely alone. And, you know, this was the most painful thing of all, that I could not stop eating, and that, you know, it was really an inside in my head. I could not get right. And I felt so alone in this, so trapped by it. And my God, it turned out to be the thing that's drawn me closer to my fellows, to not just people that suffer from a food addiction, but I have love and tolerance and understanding for people who may have a drug addiction or a sex addiction or gambling or, you know, any of it, and all the world over. And, you know, I just feel like singing. It's just the most beautiful thing. I listen on this line, and I can hear all the different accents, all the different, you know, languages, different countries. And, you know, this has really been the thing. This must be what I was meant to learn, you know, that I am not alone, that my higher power is my connectedness to my fellows, to everybody. And, you know, that just, it just fills me with excitement. And then so that when I, you know, go out and into the rest of the world and deal with people all day long, children and adults who may have an addiction, may not have addiction, may have another problem, you know, my charge is to be of use, you know, to feel connected, to be of use, to not be stuck inside my ego of Melissa. And just grateful to feel that today with that idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Okay. I will ask Deborah S. to please read the last paragraph on this page.
Hi. Good morning.
Okay,
yes, here
are.
I am.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Good morning. This is Deborah S. in New Jersey, recovered, gratefully for today. Thank you, God. In spite of the great increase in the size and the span of this fellowship at its core, it remains simple and personal. Each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. What a great paragraph. And it gives me a lot of hope. And it reminds me back to the story, you know, Bill's story, when he's sitting there on that bleak November morning, and, you know, all of a sudden the telephone rings and it's his friend coming. And his friend comes over. This was his drinking buddy. And he sees him, and he's clean and he's fresh, and his eyes are telling him something. His eyes were clear and bright. And that was recovery right there. He didn't have to say a word. He opened the door and he just saw something. He saw a message about his friend. This was a different person. He didn't even have to open a mouth, and there he was, you know, spreading a message. And this is something that we can do each day in our lives, you know, in this program, by just showing up and staying abstinent and taking and taking the actions in this book. You know, we talk about, you know, the service, living in 10, 11, and 12, taking a phone call, talking with another person when something comes up for them, or reaching out, or for when I reach out to another person. You know, all these actions that I take throughout the day within the program and then out of the program with my family and with other program members, that is building recovery. And, you know, when I go to meetings and talk to a newcomer, and, you know, the newcomer, they say, is the most important person in the room, you know, that, you know, when I'm talking with another person, that is the beginning of recovery. And I love where it says here, it's simple and personal. You know, we don't have to complicate things. Very, very simple. And it applies to everyone. That's what I loved about this program, because it's personal to me. I can relate to the stories in this book. I can relate to another person who's been there, has done that, because we're all the same. Nobody's better than or less than. And it could work. It could work for me too. It could work for you too. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kim G.
Reba.
Sharon H. in Colorado.
Dan F.
Reba P.
Ilana from Detroit.
Okay, I have Kim G, Sarah W, Sharon H, Deanne, I don't know, Reva P,
yeah,
and Ilana. Okay, is that it? Did I get that right? Okay, well, let's go with Kim G.
Good morning.
You missed
morning.
Candace? Okay, I didn't hear you. Candace, you'll be after Ilana. Okay, go ahead, please, Kim. Kim, star one to unmute.
Oh, sorry, Katie, I must have got muted. Start my timer over. Okay, so my name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And I just want to work on that word experience, and I looked it up in the dictionary. It says knowledge or practical wisdom gained from what one has encountered or undergone. Undergone, to me, is the key thing. You know, what experience are we sharing? You know, unfortunately, what I did for many years is I shared the experience of suffering as a compulsive overeater. My experience in a lot of meetings was that's what we all shared. We all shared the common bond that we were picking up and getting back on track and picking up and getting back on track. And when we say in page 164, we cannot transmit something we don't have, what do we have? What are we looking for? You know, I want the experience of a spiritual awakening. That is the goal. That is the aim of a 12-step program. I want the experience of not wanting my binge food. I don't want to live life white-knuckle it and just being tortured by the food and hoping to God I beat the food one day at a time. I want the experience that I currently have, which is that the obsession has been removed. You know, I just want people kind of reflect about what experience are you sharing. I mean, it's very common for me to hear in a meeting, you know, yeah, I've never done a fourth step, but let me tell you what I think it would be like. You know, yeah, I've never made an amends, but let me tell you my opinion about what I think an amends would be like. You know, for myself, again, for many years, I was told to sponsor based on days of abstinence. So what I would share was my abstinence. I would share my food plan. You know, we'd say, you know, find someone who has what you want and ask him or her how he or she is achieving it. What do you want? You know, do you want this spiritual experience? Do you want the ability to walk through life a free person, not having to worry about looking for whether you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, avoiding people, places, and things. If that's the experience you want, that's the experience these 12 steps offer. You know, and when I do sponsor, I have to say, it's not like I'm waiting someone till step 12 to start sharing their experience. When they do step 3, I tell them to call newcomers. Tell a person what step 3 is like. When you do your step 5, call newcomers. Tell what that experience is like, because you now have that experience. You know, I, once again, just back to me, I don't have the experience of being in 2 12-step programs. I have one addiction. So it's arrogant of me to try to tell someone who suffers from 2 addictions what that is like. So I have to be real clear on what my experience is. My experience is I'm a compulsive overeater of a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I am, to the core of my being, a compulsive overeater. But let me flatly declare that I do not suffer from compulsive overeating. And if you want that experience, that is what this book offers to each and every one of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. And Sarah W., you're up.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sarah W., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Iowa. I'd like to talk a little bit about hope, and, you know, I'd like to welcome anybody that's new on the line or that's out there suffering. Lately, I've gotten some calls from people that really were suffering in the disease, and it is an isolative disease, and there is hope here. You know, I've gone through relapse. I've been through, in the almost 21 years of my recovery, I've been through a lot of pain in the disease, and also a lot of pain in life. You know, I've lost my mother. I've and remained abstinent. I've my dog of 12 years just passed away. And, you know, I can say that even though I have hardship and struggles, that I really am so grateful every day for what I have, as far as was stated prior to me. You know, I've ceased fighting anything and anybody, and that I don't struggle with the food. I was at a meeting last night, and my husband, because he had a sponsee, was celebrating 2 years of sobriety, and there was cake and ice cream and everything, and, you know, I just joined in fellowship without the thought whatsoever that I would partake. And my husband and myself were the only people there out of almost 20 people that didn't. And, you know, I had no sense of, you know, how come I couldn't, or, you know, why don't I get to, or, you know. Today what I realize is I get to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. I get to take part in this beautiful program. I get to participate. And I'm so excited for the end of October. I live in a place that's very far from meetings, and my only OA contact is through the people that I talk to that are my network and that I sponsor and that sponsor me. And so I'm so looking forward to meeting all of you, and it really is an all-inclusive recovery program, and that's what's so beautiful. It is a gift. It is a gift. It's not even been around 100 years, and we're so fortunate to have it. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you, Sarah. And Sharon H., you're up.
Thank you, Katie. This is Sharon H. in Colorado. Excuse me. And yet at its core, it remains simple and personal each day somewhere in the world. Recovery begins when one alcoholic talks to another alcoholic, sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And I looked up the word core, and it talks about the inmost part of something, the essential meaning. And, you know, the experience, strength, and hope that they had was they had gone through this, well, you know, in the beginning they didn't even have the book. They were sort of using the Oxford Group tenets, but were pretty much rooted in what these 12 steps became. And with that, they were able, with the help of God, a higher power, as they could relate to a higher power, to be willing to let go and lay down the alcohol and then allow themselves to be renewed and restored in their mind from the insanity that does drive us back over and over again to believe the lie that we can handle this, we can manage it. This time it'll be different. I've been in a while, it won't matter. And I'm one of those that struggled for a long time in this program, so I know all those excuses. But I am so grateful today that today I can share my experience, strength, and hope, because I have done precisely what this book teaches me to do, go through the steps, and then be willing to take that message to another suffering compulsive overeater. And for me, it's also another suffering alcoholic. And I am so grateful for that today. I am so grateful that I have been given this privilege, and I never thought it would happen, so it makes it so special. And I look forward to seeing all of you in Virginia Beach very soon as well. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, we have Deanne next.
Hi, this is Deanne. Is it me up?
Yes, it's your turn, Deanne.
Oh, my God.
I don't know your last name.
It's F, like Frank.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Hang on one second. Okay, I just want to make sure you can hear me. I'm actually out walking my dog, everybody.
Yes, we can. Yeah.
And I just want to say that I am so incredibly grateful for this program. Today is my actual natal birthday. And I have to tell you that it is already, I think, the best birthday I've ever had. And that is clearly a result of working the steps as the way they're laid out and working with other people and making service my priority today and not my ego. And that's the gift that we get when we surrender every day. And sometimes I have to surrender more than once a day. But this is just a beautiful program to the newcomer. Right now you can't see the promises, but I will tell you they come true when you work this as prescribed in the big book. And I thank you all so much for helping me in my recovery so that I can help others. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Deanne F. Reva P., you're up.
Good morning. This is Reva P., recovered compulsive overeater. I'd like to share on some words and concepts that are jumping out at me. The word core, to me, is associated with something strong, like the core of my body, when you work your core. And to me, that means, you know, this program is powerful. And as we've read in these three forewords, it has grown and grown and mushroomed because it works, because people get results if they work the program as outlined in this big book. And the solution is simple and personal, which reminds me, my disease and my mind complicates things. You know, for example, yesterday I had an important work call for 9:00. I call my colleague. There's no answer. You know, simple solution, which I actually needed to contact two members to remind me, because my best thinking gets me in trouble. I wanted to call again and again, and it's hilarious, actually, and I wanted to call her cell phone, and I needed to remind myself that God's way, or a higher power's way, is simple, and it's not my natural, easy way. The simple solution is to wait. And lo and behold, she called me at 9:30, and of course it was, a divinely inspired discussion. So it's simple, not necessarily easy for me, but simple and personal. Something as silly as, do I call this person back 10 times? And drive my mind crazy which could lead to food thoughts afterwards. Personal, and that also reminds me that, as was shared previously, my concept of a power greater than myself, because what I need is power. With all my intellect, with all my best thinking, I could not deal and manage the food. I just couldn't. I was licked. Thank you, God, for step one. Simple, personal, same thing as a food plan, simple and personal, and a concept of a power can be very personal. It's each person in this program has a totally different food plan and a totally different concept of a higher power, but at its core, there's depth and weight, and there are all commonalities. It's like spokes on a wheel. We all get to the same spot eventually. And then I also wanted to share on one alcoholic talking with another, and they have three words: experience, strength, and hope. So I'm not just sharing the experience of binging my face off. I'm sharing the experience of strength, strength and power by following the program and being in the solution. And there's so much hope when I continue to see powers of example, getting through life on life's terms, in abstinence,
gone,
and with power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Reba. Okay, we have Ilana and Candace. If y'all could each talk for 2 minutes, we'll be good. Go ahead.
Hello.
Ilana.
Hi, this is Ilana. Hi, do you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we hear you fine. Hi. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ilana from Detroit. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank God I'm in program 7.5 years. I've been with Vision for You from beginning, listening to as many meetings as I can. Often I can't share. I very often have to listen later in the day. First of all, I'm so excited to meet all of you in Virginia Beach. And I want to share about it, sharing experience, strength, and hope, one alcoholic to another. That's how I started in this program. I kept meeting women in my community who were beautiful and shining and happy, and I noticed they had lost weight, and I was desperate to figure out my Achilles heel. I had everything else going, a great career, a great family. I could not lose my weight, and I was mentally just crazy from it. And I kept asking them. It was attraction, not promotion. They didn't stuff it down my face, but I would say to them, tell me what you did. And I had to hear their stories again and again, and it took me 2 years of meeting at least 3 different people. And finally, someone broke through my brain and said these simple words to me. Of course, I was so food-focused, I thought, how can I give it up? And she said, I promise you, you will not enjoy food less. You will enjoy food more. You'll get more pleasure out of eating, not less. And it's so true. Of course, I didn't realize how much I would grow spiritually and in my trust in God. I didn't even understand that part of it yet. But it was their experience, strength, and hope that brought me here, and understanding that I wasn't giving up anything because I was using and abusing food. I was barely even tasting it when I was binging. And now I can sit down and appreciate all the healthy, beautiful food God gave me. And I'm so grateful today to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And Candace, you're up.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Candace in Germany. I am trying to return to OA. I came into OA in 1992 in New York City. I'm now living in Germany, and I can say with reference to the readings that I certainly owe a big debt to AA, but being in a foreign country nowadays, it's not so easy. There is some English-speaking AA in Germany, but they're not so welcoming to other members of other programs. And where I am, there is no English-speaking OA here. So therefore, the telephone and the internet now will help me find a way to get back to program, get back to OA, because I really need it. I think I need to start my abstinence fresh. I need a fresh food plan. I need a fresh program. I am really stuck and I'm in trouble, and I have health problems relating to this. And when I heard someone share it on the meeting about someone who passed away from this illness, I saw this, I've seen this in the past, and I don't want to go there. I want to go back to, I had 15 years of solid abstinence and miracles from this program, and I want to get back to that. But I know I have to kind of start over and do it differently. So I'm very grateful for the internet and the phone meetings and for everybody on the line, everybody doing service. You give me a lot of hope and experience, strength, and hope. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Candace. You're in the right place. Okay. Let's see. Thank you to everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Charles H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you for your service, KDF. Charles H., our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the happy road of happy destiny. Thank you.